Let us come to God's word now. We're coming to Colossians and chapter 1. I'm going to focus upon verse 18 this morning. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Colossians 1, verse 18 reads, "And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent." That's the word of the Lord. It's good to read scripture. I want to quite directly say as we come together, and it's great to have everybody with us, children. Good to have you here as well. We just want to all share in the word now. I want to say to you, children, adults, everybody gathered, I want to say this, first of all, this morning. I want you all to be in Christ and making progress in Christ. I want that for all of Feltham Evangelical Church, for myself, for us all, that we would be knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior, and that we would be growing and going forward in him and for him. That we would all grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, now during the coronavirus outbreak, and always, always into the days ahead. Life can be very turbulent. Life can have many uncertainties. And the disciples of the Lord Jesus, they were in a turbulent situation, literally at one time, in a boat, on a storm, and all kinds of things were happening, and they were quite fearful. And the Lord Jesus appeared, and he said this, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." That's Mark 6, verse 50. Hear that? He says, "Take heart, encourage yourselves. It is I. Do not be afraid." To have Jesus Christ in our lives, in all the circumstances of life, is enough. To know the reality of Jesus Christ is all we need. It's what we need now. Some of us are very unsettled. Some of us are perhaps fearing the future. And we don't know what's ahead. And whether we come, if we come through the coronavirus situation, there's likely to be further turbulence ahead. And I want us to be prepared for all of life. And if we know Jesus Christ, we're prepared for all of life. So I want to simply, during carrying on these messages, to present to you the Lord Jesus. And I want to go through a kind of ABC, and I want you to encourage you to dwell more and delve more into the knowing of Jesus Christ in his different attributes. So we started with Advocate 3 weeks ago, and I want to think about him being the beginning this morning. He's the beginning. It's an interesting Sunday, this, isn't it? It's a very interesting Sunday. Why is it an interesting Sunday? It's an interesting Sunday because it's the first Sunday after Easter. And at Easter, we've celebrated Good Friday, the Lord Jesus dying on the cross. Easter Sunday, the Lord Jesus being risen from the dead. And we might say, well, it's the first Sunday about after Easter. We might say, well, we did that last weekend. What are we going to do today? Are we going to go on to something new? Is there something else that we should be making progress into? And I'm going to say, no, no, no. We're going to stay exactly where we were last weekend. And Feltham Evangelical Church is always going to stay there. And if we depart from the centrality of Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen from the dead, I'll be the first to want to close Feltham Evangelical Church, because we'll be redundant and of no use to anybody. So as we come to this Sunday, we're carrying on. We're staying where we were. We're staying with Jesus Christ for life, forever, for now. So, well, actually, interestingly, that's precisely the issue of Colossians. You know, Colossians, the basic background is some false teachers were around and they were saying, great to be Christian, wonderful. Wonderful to be Christian, but now that you're Christian, to be a really true and special and progressing Christian, you need some extra teaching. So, yeah, Jesus Christ, him crucified, yeah, that makes us a Christian, but we need some extra teaching, and then that will take us forward. And basically, Colossians is saying, no, 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 you don't. You simply need the central message about Jesus Christ, him crucified, risen from the dead. Key verse of Colossians is chapter 2 and verse 6. Key verse is Colossians is chapter 2 and verse 6. And it simply says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. As you believed in him to be your Lord and Savior, then continue to believe in him to live out your life, knowing him as your Lord and Savior. So we think about that then as our basic flow this morning, that we're sticking with Jesus Christ. I'm going to think about particularly him being the beginning. So our first point this morning, as we're going into Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, is him being the beginning. You see, as we come to verse 18, in verses 13 to 14, well, we've been shown he is the beginning of salvation. In verses 15 through to 17, we have been shown that he is the beginning of creation. It says there in verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This is Jesus Christ. This is our beloved Lord and Savior. And as we come to verse 18, we come to see that he is the beginning of the church. So our first point this morning is, what is it for him to be the beginning? And the idea is, he is the start of all things. You go back right to the start of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, he is the starter of all things. Everything originates out of him. So if you look at this shirt, you see this shirt, everybody? Got a white shirt on today. And this was made in China. That's where it originates. Some factory in China. That's what it was made. That's where it started. And now it's arrived here and I'm wearing it today. And as for myself, I'm here because there was a couple by the name of Clarence and Evelyn Venables who were before me. And it's from them that I originated. They were before. In a sense, out of them I have come. I was born into this world. That's the idea of being the originator. And Jesus Christ is the originator of the church. Jesus Christ is the one who is the starter of the church. He is the one who brings it forward. He is the start of the church. He is the should be the start of all of us in the church. The church has life forevermore because of Jesus Christ. So that is the first point this morning, is that he is the beginning. This is who Jesus Christ is. The church comes out of Jesus Christ. Now we're going to think about, so we're thinking about verse 18 of Colossians chapter 1. We're going to think now about how three things particularly come out of him being the beginning. Because he is the beginning, he can also be the head of the church. So go to verse 18. It says, he is the head of the body, the church. Go. So you can look at me, you can look at yourselves. But like us as a being, you see there, I've got a head and I've got a body. And the church is like that. The church is like that. Jesus Christ is the head and we are the body. He is the one who directs us. It's out of our heads that things originate, and our body moves as our mind and our head directs us. That's how we operate, and that's what the church is. Jesus Christ is the head, and we are the body. But if you think about a head and a body, there's actually something that can happen to a head and a body. What can happen to it? It can be in two states, a head and a body, can't it? It can be in two states. It can be either dead or alive. Okay. You can have a head and a body, and it could be dead.
where I have a head and a body, and it could be alive. And that's where the issue of the beginning comes in, you see. Because our head is the beginning. He's the originator. He's the one who has life to bring forth life. The church is alive. We are his body, the church. We are a place that is alive because our head is alive. And how do we know he's alive? Because he's the beginning. So the second statement, in a sense, is clarifying the first statement and say, yeah, Jesus Christ directs us, but he's in a real living way. The church is not dead. The church is not a museum collecting all items from the past. The church is alive because our head is alive. Jesus Christ is the one directing us. We should be all moving together in harmony with Jesus Christ, the centrality of him raised from the dead. So, first point, he's the beginning. And then we're thinking, as he's the beginning, he really is the head of the church. And as he's the beginning, he really is risen from the dead. So the second point is, the third statement of the verse is, what does it say? It says that he is the firstborn from the dead. He is the firstborn from the dead. Jesus Christ is alive from the dead. And he's alive from the dead because, well, hear this verse. Colossians chapter 2, verse 20, sorry, Acts chapter 2, verse 24, we read it at the beginning, says, God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Just wasn't possible, okay? Because he's life, you see. He is the beginning. He's the originator of life. And so Jesus Christ submitted to death. He, as it were, took what was not natural to him for a time so that we could have salvation, but it was impossible. Just impossible that the living Lord of all could stay there. And he rose up. He's the firstborn. Three things that teaches us. First thing he teaches us is that it's an idea of order. He's the first, and others follow after. He is the first to have been raised from the dead and stay raised from the dead. Lazarus was raised up, but he died again. Jesus is the first one. He's the rank. You remember in Genesis 25, perhaps some of you, Esau was the firstborn child of Isaac, and Jacob was born afterwards. But there came a time when Esau came home one day and he'd been so, so busy out in the, doing his hunting, and he was so, so hungry. He said, I want some food, to his brother Jacob. And Jacob said, yeah, I'll give you some food, but you give me your birthright instead. And basically he gave it. In the end, Esau says, you can have it. I just want the food. And so basically Jacob, even though he wasn't the firstborn, became the firstborn. He took that position because he got it from Esau. So it's a kind of position. He is always first. The idea as well, I think there's something of an image here as well. There's something of an image. It's as if when the Lord Jesus went into the grave, it's like when he came up again, he was born out of it. Born out of it. Grave was a place where he went into life everlasting. And the third thing is the fact that he's the firstborn has a hint of what? Has a hint that there's going to be lots of others. There's going to be lots of others as well who are going to come. And that's us, brothers and sisters. You see, because Jesus Christ is the beginning, because Jesus Christ, being the beginning, is the firstborn from the dead, we who are connected to him, we will also be raised with him. It's impossible for that not to happen. Just impossible. You know, I don't know if I'll take another breath. But I do know if I die, I am absolutely 100% guaranteed to be raised again from the dead. Because I have life in the Lord of life through his grace. Nothing to do with me. You see, just to clarify about Auntie Margaret's situation, Auntie Margaret is now in heaven. She is absent from the body, present with the Lord. She is awaiting her resurrection body. And in due time, in the day of resurrection, she will have her body raised again, and she will be reunited with her new body. Glorious body. A body made after the likeness of the body of Jesus Christ. And she is 100% guaranteed to have it. So, because he's the beginning, we are guaranteed to have new bodies. We're guaranteed the resurrection. When we become Christians, our souls are raised. When we pass into eternity, there's a day when our bodies are going to be raised. Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead, because he is the beginning. And because he is the beginning, and because he's the head of the church, and because he is the firstborn from the dead, the purpose of God focuses in this final statement, that he might be, what does it say, the final statement? That in all things he might have the preeminence. That in everything he might be preeminent. That he might be first. That he might be the top. That he might be on display. God's purpose in the workings now, even into eternity, is that Jesus Christ would be on display. Can I ask you a question this morning, everybody? What is the purpose of your life? What is your purpose of your life? And I'm going to say that this should be a central purpose of your life. It should be that Jesus Christ is on display. That should be the central purpose of our life as a church. Jesus Christ on display. Jesus Christ to be on display through our characters, through our conduct, through our speech. God has a set purpose that in his church, Jesus Christ is his head, as the head, as the resurrected one, would be shown out and as central, as on display. Can I ask you another question? Is Jesus Christ preeminent in your life? Would people say that Jesus Christ is on display? Is Jesus Christ preeminent in your family? Parents, is Jesus Christ on display as you to your children? And in our church, can we see Jesus Christ being on display for individuals and for ourselves together? You see, it's all about Jesus Christ being pushed up. It's all about him being made much of. And when we're making much of him, our lives are formed into his likeness by his spirit. You see, so many religions are trying to bring Jesus Christ down, aren't they? Some would accept him just as a good teacher. Yeah, just he's a good teacher. And some would accept him, well, he's a redeemer, but he's the same as Mary. They redeem together. And some would accept him as a prophet, but he's just a prophet alongside a whole list of prophets. And they're putting him down and down and down. And we say with John the Baptist, he must increase and we must decrease. Children, all of us, even children, ask your parents at this time, can we study more about the Lord Jesus Christ and learn more about him? Well, how will we know this? How will we know this, that he's the preeminent one? Well, we know it when we're seeing him, when we're experiencing the resurrection life, when we're experiencing that he's the head of the body of the church, that he is directing us, and that we are moving according to his will. That the fact that Jesus Christ is the originator will be coming into our lives. You see, that's how this comes about. He'll be seen as the preeminent one. And what will be on display? What will be on display? Well, Jesus Christ will be on display. And what did you see of him when he came into this world? when you came into this world, you saw one full of grace and truth. John chapter 1. He was full of grace and truth. Is your life full of grace and truth? So you see the flow then of these things. He is the beginning. And as the one who is the beginning, he's the head of the church, which is his body. And as the one who is the beginning, he is the one who brings forth the resurrection. And as the one who is the beginning, who's the head of the church, and who is the firstborn of the resurrection, he's the preeminent one. He is number one. We should be putting him on display. God's purpose is that he would be on display. Which leads to a final point. And this would be my fifth point, is how are we going to live? How are we going to live in the light of all things? And I simply ask you as we come to that, who's the beginning of your life? Who is the beginning of the life, your life? Who is the beginning of everything in your life? Who is the beginning of your day? Who is the beginning of your today? Who is the beginning of your parenting? Who is your beginning of your work? Who is the beginning of your marriage? Everything in our lives should be continually pushed back to the one who is the originator. And we say, Lord, originate this. Lord, bring it out. Lord, start it. Even for your marriage, you've been struggling. Well, go and start it again and get Jesus Christ as the beginner, as the starter. And as you do so, you'll be forming it around his word. You'll be forming it in prayer. But the critical thing is you acknowledge him. You acknowledge him and you seek him. And you'll be pushing into him continually. The alternative is pretty serious, you know. The alternative is we just live lives of death. If we're not pushing back to the Lord of life, who is the beginning, we live lives of death. There's a church called Sardis, and they had a name that they were alive, but they were really dead. They had no life because they'd lost connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. We had a great evening last Wednesday evening with Joe Shoko from Harare, Zimbabwe. And he said this as one of the things he said, what is the sign of a true Christian? They hate sin. And that's true, isn't it? But why should it be such a thing to hate sin? You see, we should hate sin because it keeps us from the originator of all things. Sin should be seen, for one thing, as being so bad and so vile because it keeps us from life. You have sin in your life, you'll have no life experience from God. Is that the problem that you have at the moment, that you're not feeling anything from God? Or is it because you have just tolerated sin in your life? There's things that are offensive to God. I say, go and repent. Is it something that you're doing towards each other in your marriage? Is it something that you were watching on the computer you know you shouldn't? And you say, I say, stop, repent, cleanse it, and get back to the originator of all things. It's interesting in that passage in John in chapter 4, if you carry it through, the part where we stopped in the children's talk, the Lord actually gets to the heart of the matter with the lady and says, you got sin. You got sin in your relationships. Deal with it. And basically the point is she may long for the water, but she won't get the water unless she deals with her sin. She won't feel the living experience of Jesus Christ, and let me deal with our sin. Let be hard on sin individually and as a church. Let us be hard on sin individually and as a church. And that's just not to make pretty little lives, which might be whatever, but it's to give real life, because God is about giving real life. Let me think then, if we're thinking about how this lives out, what is your life? To just address these issues as regards to what is your life. How does your life appear to your children? How does your life appear to your parents' children? How does your life appear to your work colleagues, your neighbors, those of you with grandchildren? What is your life? Does your life show that Jesus Christ is the beginning? Does it light show that it is a life that's full of life? I'm going to say this morning to you carefully that there are two great dangers that we have as Christians. They are dangers because fundamentally they are good things, but they are not complete things. The two dangers are the morality life and the doctrine life. The morality life and the doctrine life. And the morality life is basically we're a right and wrong people. We know what's right and we know what's wrong. And we can become morality parents. The children just know mum and dad say what's right and what's wrong. Okay? But we become known as just morality people. Now, morality is good. And when Jesus Christ is in our lives, he forms morals. He forms the right way of doing things. And we reject the wrong way of doing things. But there's something missing if we just go for the morality life, because we can be disconnected from the one who is the beginning. We need the beginning. And it's similar with the doctrine life. You see, we need doctrine. You please, Feltham Evangelical Church, dear brothers and sisters, don't get me wrong. We need doctrine. We need instruction. And I'm sold out that during this time where we can have, some of us have got a lot more time on our hands, go study, get doctrine. But we can frame all the right doctrines of Scripture according to the churches, according to Israel, according to the offerings of the Old Testament, according to eschatology, whatever these terms, we can form them right and still not have a complete Christianity. We can be, as it were, partially formed without being in touch with the one who is the beginning. We need to be in touch with the beginning. You see, very likely if you have a morality life or a doctrine life on their own, you have a very sort of hard, there's a hardness to you. There's a hardness to you. And sometimes if people might come and if there's a shaking of life, there's a very easily a falling over. Or if somebody comes and touches you, there's easily things that break off and are quite brittle. I want to tell you about the buildings in Japan. I want to tell you Japan's an earthquake area. And as an earthquake area, they have to take precautions in order to make sure that the buildings are as strong as possible. And one of the things they do with some of the buildings is they put oil dampers in. And I'm not fully sure how it operates, but basically these mean that when the building is shaken, there's the oil goes the other way to stabilize it, to get it stabilized. These oil dampers have kind of shock absorbers in and some thick oil. And it means that the building is stabilized. And it's as if the building is softened in order that it might cope with this reverberation. Well, I'm going to put it to you like that this morning, that we Christians, we need oil dampers. We need that which sort of steadies our lives and is able to deal with the movements of life and is able to take away that brittleness. You see, when we're in touch with the beginning, our lives are formed in Jesus Christ. And in a sense, when they're formed in Jesus Christ, he was the ultimate one who was solid, utterly solid, as he came to be from God, but soft as well. There was a tenderness. He was the grace and truth person. And when we are knowing the one who is the beginning, then the morality lives and the doctrine lives are transformed into Christ lives. So you as parents, your parents see that Christ is being revealed to them as you show them what is right and wrong. And as we as a church live with all of the right doctrine, we live with it in grace and truth. We are steadied through all the issues of life. We're bound together and Jesus Christ is coming through us. Yes, we need doctrine, totally. But we need doctrine which is connected with the beginning and flows through us. We need to be Christ-like. We need to be solid. But dare I say so? In all of our relationships, you grandparents, what do your grandchildren think? Are you of that character? Or do they know you just as a morality person or a doctrine person? Do they know you as a Christ person? I just want to probe us this morning, brothers and sisters. I want to go deep into our lives and to say, what is happening? Have we defaulted to a kind of outward Christianity, this kind of appearance? But let's get the life. That's my plea this morning. I want us to be connected into the living one, that these things would flow out in love and generosity. I praise God this morning for all the stuff that there is in Felton Evangelical Church to display that we are a church of the beginning, of Christ the beginning. We are a church of solidity and softness, for the risk of those two terms being understood. We are a church of doctrine, but doctrine which is leading us into Christ-likeness. So, brothers and sisters, this morning, I just want us to venture on into life. And as we just want to push deeply, I will remind us that these things will emerge when we... How is this going to happen? It's going to happen when we're continually pushing back to God. So we'll need to be continually going into the Word, going into prayer, going into fellowship. I challenge you this week, as you're going into the Word, look for Jesus Christ. Look for Him. As you're going through the Felton journey, look for Christ. See Him on the Scriptures. Ask the Lord as you go and say, Lord, give me Jesus again today. And then we'll be having this life formed. He is the beginning. It's not a case of us making Him the beginning. He's the beginning of the church. It's a case of whether we're going to recognize it, live in the light of it, be worshippers of Him, be acknowledgers of Him, be those who continually connect with Him. And wow, things are going to be bigger and better as we move forward now, as we move forward out of coronavirus in His will, and as we move on to whatever the Lord has for us. So the next thing you start in life, ask yourself, have I started this with Jesus Christ? The beginning. And if you haven't, stop, go back there and start again. Everything. Jesus Christ is, let it be, the beginning. And we're going to sing our final hymn now. Thanks for listening, everybody, as we want to hear God's word. And we're going to sing our final hymn. I trust God will speak to us through His word this morning. And we're going to sing, Lord, be my vision.